Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone, we're back. This is our post-storm edition of the Vent Man Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm glad whoever's listening could make it, and that intro music is known as Lucky Day by a group called the Jingle Tank, and it certainly is our lucky day. We have a wonderful guest on, which we're going to get to her shortly. That is Lindsay Sherwin. Just wanted to say, I braved the storm, did a little bit of emergency duty Monday. I think I've been up about 48 of the last 96 hours. It's been difficult, but it's not impossible. It's interesting. It's been a week with a storm, not the biggest storm, but certainly a storm. And in juxtaposition to that, we have a guest on tonight. We had a guest on Monday who are very adept at helping people weather the storm. So I am going to, without further ado, bring on our guest. And this is the lovely and talented and very humanitarian, Lindsay Sherwin. And welcome aboard, Lindsay.
Hi, Anthony. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and certainly your bio, your resume speaks for itself. I'm going to go through a paragraph
Thank
of this.
You.
It's very good. You're a native of New York City. You completed a BA in Arts and Humanities at UC London in the United Kingdom, of course, and you went on to earn a master's degree in nonprofit management, development, social policy, and community sector studies from Birkbeck, which is University of London. Lindsay works with adolescents and young adults involved in both the child welfare and juvenile justice systems, and her expertise is specifically boys and young men, mentoring and assisting them. She has a multitude of experience in developing education and personal development workshops for youth of ethnic minority backgrounds in the U.S. and abroad. So let's start with you, Lindsay. How did you get there? How did you end up in University of London with your major and eventually with your vocation?
So I actually started studying in the U.S. I started with East European Studies, and I was really interested in different groups, different, you know, communities, background, culture, and I started a lot of volunteering. When I was 15, I went to Eastern Europe and did like this culture travel trip, and it just really inspired me to continue working with people, with communities, and I was like, okay, let me apply to this university in London. They have what I'm interested in studying. I took a chance. I got accepted, and I was able to study there as well as continue my work in nonprofit, working with different organizations and different groups of people. So that was amazing. That was an amazing experience, and it has embraced my interest and has enhanced different elements of this kind of work, both on the, you know, personal and professional level. And now
right.
The really great thing about it is that, you know, After studying it and, you know, being in the intellectual realm of it, the work is on the ground. It's like you and the people. It's authentic, and I get to use those skills every day. So that's the best part of it.
Right. Now, you also, your experiences before that, you did some theater and you did a little bit of modeling. How'd you get started with those things?
Well, I've been acting since I was in high school. I was in a visual and performing arts academy in high school in New Jersey, actually. And I was in some plays there and some musicals, and then I moved on to do some more theater in college. And modeling, I actually recently just started modeling, like last year, and that really came through just my interest in entertainment and putting myself out there and really developing myself and, you know, working on me and developing the confidence to say, like, I want to do that and going through with it.
Was there a sort of an element? Yeah, was there a little element of, like, the fear of just getting over that fear of, you know, putting yourself up there and, you know, just kind of getting over the hump? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us go through.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess it's, like, through the acting, I enjoyed, you know, being in front of people, which I was actually always afraid to do. Even as a kid, I was very timid and within myself. And, you know, I guess we're going to talk more about this, but because I was able to develop that within me, I'm now interested in using that as a part of my program to help these kids who, you know, need support in the personal development areas. So it's kind of like you deal with yourself first and you realize what's going on with you, and then you can do it in the world and show other people how to do it.
Right, right. Now, how did you, even before we get into how you were, let's say, introduced to the sort of the mentoring work that you do, when you were younger, did you have sort of any kind of a figure who mentored you, let's say, or like sort of brought you along?
No, I actually started, you know, meeting my mentors in college. I was more open to hearing people tell me things that maybe I didn't always want to hear, but, you know, I was an only child, so, and, you know, I had two parents, but it was more, you know, I wasn't ready for that, I don't think. I think as I began to go through my own experiences traveling and, you know, finding out about what I like and what I want to do, I mean, I've always known what I wanted to do since a young age. I was like, okay, well, I want to talk to people about it. And then I guess it's just life. You know, things just happen and people show up for you when you least expect it. And I started meeting some great people in London. And I guess through my college years, I was ready to rid myself of that loneliness, that phase
right.
of, you know, being afraid or not wanting to open up to people and allow people to really help me and bring out the best in me. And I'm grateful for that because they really have.
Right, right. Well, just before we continue, we do have a caller. We're just going to ask our caller to stand pat
okay.
for a while we just talk to Lindsay a little longer, and then we'll bring that person in.
Great.
How did you first formally get introduced, you know, to, let's say, the concept or the framework of mentoring teens and what you do?
Yeah, I was always volunteering for different organizations, and I found myself really organically and informally doing that with the youth. You know, even when I went to Eastern Europe on that trip, and, you know, if you look through the pictures, one of them is me with a little boy, and that was mentoring. It was just like organically getting to know someone, just really talking to them, understanding where they are, informally, naturally, ease and flow with the person. You build a trust in the moment. I always say, like, mentoring is immediate trust building. You know, you
right.
establish a common ground with them, and you just, like, talk to them, and you have no preconceptions, and it just felt really it felt really good, actually. And I didn't know I was doing it, which is, I guess, the coolest part about it. It felt, like, great to me. I was just naturally connecting. And then I said, well, okay, like, I want to take this more seriously. So as I went through the different organizations, you know, I found myself doing the kind of work that I was doing, like education, for example, but a lot of that had to do with connecting with the youth or the client before
right.
any of that could really, like, sustain itself.
Right. Now, you're also a self-awareness practitioner, I guess, well, let's ask, what do you think your definition of self-awareness is?
Good question. Self-awareness, I think it's really, you know, going into yourself internally and saying, where am I? You know, always knowing where you are, like being clear about where you are in the world, you know, and about where you are internally in terms of what you want. So when I say where you are in the world, I mean, like, what do I want in this world? Where do I stand in terms of my goals? What is my dream? How do I get there? And then, like, being aware of the steps on how to get there, it just doesn't stop at, like, well, this is my dream. And this is something I've been realizing as I've been pursuing my dream at this stage, you know, in my life. Like, you know, it's a combination of the two, I think. It's like being really acute to people and what they say to you, you know, being sharp about the kind of judgments that you make, and just always, you know, finding we're all human too. And I think that, like, to always be happy is not necessarily something that, you know, a person can really expect of themselves all the time. It takes a lot of internal work. But I think it's just questioning, but sometimes it's letting go as well, and I learned that through theater. You know, you don't always have to be so stoic. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be open to being like, well, is this the truth? Is this the truth of what I'm experiencing? Well, if it is, let me admit that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter, I guess, of trying to find a perspective, just an overview of yourself, you know, beyond all the framework that you've already seen. Is that a little tougher for teenagers? You think that's a little tougher to do because they haven't seen as much yet?
Yeah, specifically teens that, you know, have a lot of issues going on at home or in their neighborhoods, in their communities. You definitely need a lot of support. You need some modeling. You need some role modeling to show someone the right behaviors. It does start with thinking, and then the behaviors adapt. And that's basically what, you know, my program entails, starting with exposing them to new ideas of thinking on a daily basis, and then the behavior starts to change through that understanding, you know, and through that new way of thinking about oneself, about, you know, what they want, how they're going to get that. So, yeah, definitely. You know, and they've got to be willing to do the work as well. So I guess that's my job to help them see how valuable it is.
Right. Okay, here's what we'll do now. Well, we'll bring in our caller. We're going to talk a little further about how Lindsay has eventually married her concept of the theater to, similar to our Monday guest, Lanina, who took her Golden Gloves boxing experience and translated it into an effective tool for abused women. You similarly have taken the theater experience and used it as a good tool for mentoring and for self-awareness. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's creative.
Yeah.
It's unique. Okay, so let's bring in our caller. And caller, you're on the air. Anyone there? Okay, going once. They might have put the phone down. I'm not sure, Lindsay. But here's what we'll do. We'll try. Well, anyone? Anyone? Caller? Nope. Okay. We'll put them back on hold, and we'll get back to you then. So it is a great concept. You basically took your theater experience, and you said, "Let me." What gave you the idea at first? You know. Did you maybe start out by saying, I want to teach theater to kids, and it developed into more? No? Okay.
Definitely not as practical as that. It was very kind of indirect in terms of, like, this whole process. I started doing theater, you know, training 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And I realized that I want to be an entrepreneur, and theater really helped me, you know, with so many personal understandings and beliefs about how we behave as people, about, you know, it's really like the crux of human nature, like in a nutshell. That's what I think acting is. It's about being brave, you know, being brave and, you know, putting that bravery into motion. And I found, you know, through acting and entrepreneurship, you've got to be brave, you've got to exercise your will, you've got to be compelled to put your heart into action, and that's what I wanted to do. So it allowed me to really understand or craft what I wanted to create and let it take form. I mean, just so many of the concepts of theater helped me to say I want to incorporate the tools into an actual concrete program for kids. And that's what I think, so much about acting and youth work. It's really such a huge combination. You're using a lot of the same tools when you talk to a youth or a young person as you would in the theater. You know, you got to let your guard down so they don't clam up and feel like they can't trust you or they're afraid, you know, and they can act in the same thing. You got to be vulnerable. You got to admit. You got to let go. You've got to, you know, let yourself be brave, like I said, and let yourself go there. But obviously within reason, I mean, you're not going to go out of control, you know, so it teaches you control too. It's a great kind of emotional tool. The value of the parallel is so aligned. And that's really what empowered me and impassioned me to do this work that I'm creating. And it's also something that you know, it's a team effort too with acting. When you put on a play or you even work on a scene with someone, you're really not doing that by yourself. So it's a team effort. So all of that is really important when you're working with kids, you know, to get them involved and to allow them to take charge and become a leader.
Right. It does sound like a good correlation for sure. I mean, acting versus mentoring. Yeah, you're basically bearing a part of your soul in a different sort of way, but in some ways very similar. Let's see if our caller is here again. Do we have you? 212, et cetera. Caller, you're on the air. Anybody? I see you're still on my switchboard. Oh, boy.
Hello, can you?
Yes, I hear you. You're fading. Yes, hi, how do you do?
How are you doing?
Hey, hi, what's your name?
My name is Thomas Williamson.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Lindsay. I own a company called Don't Rush Life, and we're putting in a segment in our company around teenagers and helping youth. So Lindsay, we're considering having Lindsay as one of our leaders and being an author for our blog and creating a teen forum on the blog, as well as creating events around the city for us. So I was just listening in to just learn more about my new partner. That's all.
Oh, excellent. So you've worked with Thomas professionally then, Lindsay?
Yeah, we're starting to work together. He mentioned the team forum to me, and I'm really excited about that. You know, we're starting a blog to engage these kids in different issues and different, you know, areas of interest, do events for them. So we've been talking, and looks like we're going to partner.
Oh, excellent. Now, Thomas, does this have a website or a location you might want to give out to everyone to find you?
Sure. I mean, the website right now is don'trushlife.com. It's under construction. It's live. You can do most things in it. But right now I've been creating the blog conversation, so she's part of helping me set up the structure of it. There is some stuff on the blog now, but eventually it'll be probably here in the next, within this month here, it'll be complete the way we want to have it set up.
Nice. Yeah. Now, can others contribute, or is it basically a given set of authors? Can outsiders contribute to the blog, or is it kind of restricted to comments, or how does that work?
No, actually, yeah, we definitely are open to contributions. Yeah. And authors, because we feel that it's important to link and provide value for everyone. So globally, there are plenty of people out there and resources that, you know, can partner with us, and they can be in the conversation around teens. And
we want them to talk and engage and get them thinking about these things, instead of just doing them, like maybe they'll people will definitely learn about them more if they, you know, feed off of each other and talk about them in, like, a fun way, you know. So, and then I might throw in some questions in there, like, well, what would you do in this situation to get them to learn as well?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you can open this up to either of you. What is, I mean, do you find a lot of the time, are there obstacles, like mental obstacles for some of these kids, or maybe just psychological obstacles mm-hmm. where maybe they're not as receptive as you had wanted them to be? And is there something, has the theater aspect of this helped you to sort of break through that? Because I know
yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
Kids can be tough to work with.
Yeah, yeah. The other that's a great thing to say, actually, because that leads me to say, you know, if you think that way, like, that's exactly what I did. Like, I changed my thought process around that. Like, if you believe that they're tough to work with, they're going to be tough with you. If you say, you know, the leader in me is the leader in you, like, that's my kind of tagline for it when I think about it. And it's like, I treat them like a leader. They treat me with that same respect. Like, so, you know, I think that a lot of issues that happen around these kinds of kids or kids in these situations, I should say, in, you know, vulnerable situations, is that people perceive them as being bad or negative because of what they hear in the media or their actions, you know, and really they just want love and they just want to be treated with the kind of respect, and you know, maybe that's hard for somebody not working with them that doesn't really believe or doesn't, from what they see physically, think that that's something respectable or admirable to do. You know, if they've read about something or they've seen it, you know, it's just a perception and it's a state of mind, and that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to change their state of mind so they improve too. I think
right.
that, you know, we need to get underneath the issues that cause them to disengage, and the only way to do that is to work on the internal, because they're struggling due to a lot of external factors and their environments. You know, they don't live in very, physically, you know, beautiful neighborhoods like maybe, you know, other people do. Like, you know, it's hard growing up in the Bronx, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so because we can't, you know, put a switch and change that or spin a magic wand around and say, okay, you're going to live like somebody else, that's okay. They can still, you know, they don't have to be removed from their environment to thrive and to do well. I think that, you know, that's just society speaking. But in terms of what we can do now in real time, right now, is to work with the internal, to shape them, to develop it like a muscle, and just, you know, let them be exposed to new thinking, like new feelings. Like, okay, I'm not feeling good right now in this situation. You know, mom is not home. I don't like where I live. You know, it's terrible. It sucks. Well, how do we focus on something else? How do we allow you to do something engaging so you don't have to focus on that, and so you can remove yourself temporarily, build yourself up, and then maybe you can, you know, you'll have the necessary tools and the financial tools as well at some point once you get a job and you get educated to move and do well.
Right, right. What are day to day now? Let's talk about, okay, you've got the kids that you're working with, and you're kind of mentoring them, you're doing a session or whatever. What's kind of the nuts and bolts? What are the kinds of, I mean, even be as specific as you want, like the
yeah.
basic things that really day to day are bothering them. What do you think comprises most of your dialogue time with them?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I can, you know, thinking back to, I can talk about, you know, when I was working in foster care, I would say that's, you know, that was an experience for me where the conversations were really intense because those youth experienced a lot in their lives. And it was really centered around how they feel about their families and, you know, in addition to how they feel personally about the things that they're dealing with in their own lives. So it wasn't just about, like, where am I going to go tonight, or where am I going to sleep tonight, or, you know, how is somebody going to treat me when I get home? But, you know, just the normal things that kids deal with. So they had just like kind of two sides of the coin there in terms of what we discussed. A lot of it was like some of the, you know, how do you handle going home to a place that you feel like they don't want you? Or how do you handle, and then we talked about different teen issues, you know, how do you handle a situation at school? Or so it was kind of like a layering of you know, issues that accumulated and kind of really, you know, I would say put them in a state where they really were overwhelmed by so many levels of practical needs and social emotional needs. So that's a lot for a young person to handle. Like, you know, where do I go tonight? And even if I have a place to go, I might be afraid to go there because they may not like what I have to say, or they may not, you know, like what happened today, and, you know, they're going to yell at me and I don't know what to do and I'm just lost within myself, and then something happened at school, you know. So it's like, it's really about, like, we deal with things one at a time. So if it's something with the family, then we look at that. And then if it's something, like, outside of that, just, like, something that they experienced in life that really affected them, you know, we talk about that. So I don't really try to combine them because I don't want them to feel like two issues are the same, because they're not. You know, they're quite intricate, and I've learned from my own experience and just trial and error, like, what do you say? Because they also have low tolerance for things, like, you know, like, if you say something that upsets them, they might get upset. You know, so it's just, like, a matter of, like, feeling. It's a matter of a feeling, like, and it takes practice.
Yeah, it does. It's funny. I'm just kind of comparing, like, I guess I was very fortunate. I grew up in a relatively solid household, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, kids who do not obviously have bigger worries. Me, I guess when I was, you know, end of high school, let's say, my concerns were like, what college am I going to go to? Am I going to get a part-time job? You know, maybe a little bit girlfriend stuff at the time.
Yeah.
You know,
like
being accepted.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess for some people, it's far more deeper and, in some cases, even life-threatening for kids who do not have that family backing.
Definitely. So, you know, and also you just take things as they come, or you take issues as they come. I think, you know, if you didn't grow up that way, maybe you were used to handling or juggling a lot of things, and so are they. They're great at doing that. They're very adept and acute to, like, how do I deal with this? Because I have to take care of myself and survival. There's no time limit on survival. Like, you've got to do what you've got to do right now in the moment. And, you know, so a lot of the work is also helping them to organize what they're experiencing, so it doesn't become such a burden, or we reduce the burden to something manageable, because it's oftentimes very unmanageable with all of these issues accumulating, like, you know, with the family and the personal and then the school and the work, and how do we do all of this, you know?
And Thomas, now on your site, what kind of issues would you say that you're running into with a lot of the not the authors, but let's say the teens, the younger people who contribute to your site? What do you find that the hot point issues are with them most of the time?
Well, actually, we haven't started actually communicate with the teens just yet, because we're just starting out with the teen forum.
Right.
And so, you know, what we want to create is, you know, topics that teens are interested in and get them involved on the blog. And, you know, Lindsay and I and the other part of the team will help, you know, create content and posts for the teens. But again, you know, really in charge of, you know, speaking to the teens and doing the research and giving us feedback, and, you know, we're creating it organically as we go along. So I do know that it is, you know, a major issue in our society is teens that are not really, they don't have the resources available to them. So we would like to provide events where they can be empowered, events where they can have activities, maybe have some mentors come and speak. But we just want to create a source and provide a way for them to have a new life.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly important and noble. I would have to agree. Lindsay, you have another upon your resume here. We have as well social innovator.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little about that?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I would say, you know, this is all social innovation, really.
Right.
You know, social innovation to me means really transforming the way structures are developed and executed. You know,
right.
it definitely has to do with social impact and creating change and, you know, developing programs that impact different communities. And I would say what Thomas and I are planning to do has a lot to do with social innovation, because it's you know, using enterprise to create social impact.
Right.
And, you know, so
somebody's talking.
You know, it's using social enterprise to create impact and, you know, do it in a new way, something new that hasn't been done before. And, you know, the concept is also more expanded as well.
Right, right.
So you kind of get a broader understanding of what you want to do and use it in a way that really creates change on a larger scale as well.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So so basically you're into many different aspects of it, as is with Thomas, of course, through the blogging, and, of course, with you in the physical world doing the sort of the marrying of the theater to this cause. And just getting a little into that now, because it's just kind of interesting. Can you point to any specific, like, works of art, like certain plays or certain passages, movies that maybe, you know, you've used in your workshops or in your sessions with kids, like an actual play, an actual something written that you've used, like, in sort of what you do?
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I've used more philosophy, actually, which is really interesting, too, because there's a lot of themes and emotional undertones in philosophy. I mean, there's logic, but there's a lot of combination of practical thinking and, you
right.
know, social thinking in that. So I love Jean-Paul Sartre. I looked at, like, existentialism, and, I mean, it's kind of higher-level thought, but if you really break it down for them, they get it. They're very,
wow.
These kids are really, really, like, adept, and, like, we talk about really good, that's a really good point, because we talk about amazing themes such as, like, freedom and truth and power, you know, and that kind of infiltrates through or travels through in the channels of philosophy. You know, Shakespeare is also something, I know it's also quite advanced, but, you know, they do get it, you know, and, you know, some plays that I have actually done was A Midsummer's Night Dream, which is a great play.
Very nice,
yeah.
Yes.
And
one of the classics.
You know, I'm sorry?
No, I said one of the classics. I know we read that both grammar school, high school, and college. We dealt with that play, as I recall.
I haven't done this yet, but I'd love to use, you know, an excerpt from a play that deals with, like, race and class and, you know, social mobility and power and, you know, different themes within society that they can relate to, and then demonstrate that through, like, acting workshops. I haven't done it yet, but it's it's kind of an idea that I've had. I saw a great play recently called The Lift, or Lift. You know, it was about two African Americans who struggled throughout their childhood and young adult years and were talking to each other as adults and became very successful, and then talking about how they did it, and it really bared their soul in terms of what they had to overcome. And I think that is totally resonant of what these kids are facing, and you know, using that to show them what they can do with their lives and how they can turn them around through the play, through the power of the play, and a play like that with all those great themes in there that they can use and understand and play out is a perfect way to show them as well.
Yeah,
for the age that they are.
I agree. I definitely like that you touch on philosophy also. I think nowadays that gets thrown a lot by the wayside, but it's one of the better ways that you have of understanding yourself. And
yes.
you don't necessarily have to get familiar with all the works of, you know, John Locke and everyone, but
you certainly can
develop a nice methodology of how to think and how to reason and apply
definitely.
It to the situation. Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing. I definitely think that's a plus.
With the social innovation, that would be something that I would be doing in the concept of social innovation, like using a topic such as philosophy, which is not used in these programs, to help them as well.
Right, right. Thomas, you had something there?
I just had a question.
Sure.
You know, Lindsay and I met at a meeting the other day, and he was sharing with me the traditional environment that she's worked in, like with social workers and with nonprofit organizations. So I wanted to just ask Lindsay if she could describe how you would do things differently with Don't Rush Life. I mean, there was many areas that just really weren't working under those bureaucracies and politics and those environments where you felt limited and stopped. So as you move forward and you start working with Don't Rush Life, with the teams, you know, having the freedom to create events and be active as a leader and have your voice heard and, you know, having a team support you, what would it look like? And could you share the difference between the difference of the impact that is created in your traditional nonprofit organizations and social workers compared to what you feel it really should be like and how you see it happening in a more powerful way?
Really good question.
I mean, what would you really, in a picture, I would say.
What would I do?
I mean, what do you think the best way to, I mean, how would you like it to be compared to what you've experienced before working with other organizations?
First of all, it's not a system, you know, so that changes the dynamic a little bit. There's more freedom to implement a program that I think would be more effective, you know, but just getting more youth input, definitely, you know, when you do work for different organizations, you know, because they have a very structured legal-based, you can't really, you know, go out and take pictures with the kids and, you know, allow them to take charge in that same way. I mean, you can do a program within the organization, but I guess I would be, you know, allowing them to lead an event, and you know, they would help with the organization of it, and we would have it going on, and like you said, in a venue in the city, in terms of the blog. Like, I don't know of any of these organizations that have a blog where kids are able to like write their ideas out and take charge of it. So it's really about them taking charge and creating the kind of leadership role that they really want in a bigger sphere. Because some of the organizations, I will definitely say, and you know, admit to that I would never put them down for this, because they do have activities that allow these kids to be leaders and to exercise their roles in community service and in society, but it's not really enough to really engage them in a lasting way. And the more that they're a part of it, the more I think that they'll stay in it. So that would be like the biggest change in terms of, you know, creating events and developing the program. You know, there's more freedom really to adapt to what the kids want and, you know, put it into action.
So you know what they really need.
Yeah. So focusing on, like, well, we have to sign this so this gets done. I mean, that's fine, and I'm not criticizing that because I worked in that world, and that's what it is. I mean, you know, things are what they are, but in terms of a different project, the dynamic and the feel of it would be different because it would really just be about the kids. You know, in these systems and programs, the family is a part of, like, what you have to do to engage the kids. Like, usually it's like this holistic model where you're talking to all of the people involved, and we may have to do that, but I guess for this purpose, it's really just primarily the purpose is different too, because we're really just focusing on the kids. This is a youth program, so, like, no parents allowed in terms of, like, contributing to the blog or whatever we're doing. You know, if we have an event, the kids are going to be running that event and supporting me with that. So I would say that, you know, there's a lot more openness and creativity around implementing, developing, and executing the programming.
So you're saying we you're saying that we can create something that has a greater impact on the teens compared to what they traditionally are offered.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. You're hired.
Now you're. Yeah.
Thanks,
I'm sorry, I keep starting at the same time. No, I was just going to say, so you talked for a moment about the parents. So basically it's kind of it's a little self-sufficient organization where you kind of keep it to the children's involvement and the parents just kind of observe.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a parent who wanted to know, I mean, they are underage, they would be, you know, young teens, so,
right.
Or mid-teens, like even those under 18 would have to obviously get consent for some things, and that's fine. And if they would want to know what's going on, of course, we would be happy to discuss with them. And to some level, you know, youth development is really about getting the parents involved. So these kinds of understandings, like they take back these understandings in the home. So if I talk to them about something going on, they could say, okay, well, you know, I want to work on this with you. And just parenting is huge because that's like modeling and showing and discussing, and that's so relevant to a youth's development mentally and personally and socially.
Right. You have anything else, Thomas? Or
not right at the moment, but yeah, I just wanted to know the difference what she would create, and, you know, because I know the kids are limited in those environments. So, yeah, I want to make sure that we create a space for them to really experience themselves and be empowered, self-empowered.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, you're doing this all from, you were doing the predominance of this from London, Lindsay, or is a lot of it happening domestically here, or a little of both?
Yeah. No, I mean, I really started this as I got more deeper into it. I started this here and with all these ideas, but the stuff that I did in London was very relevant to me understanding, you know, how to work with different people and different groups. I worked with so many different communities there, and just like different themes as well, like getting more interested in justice and, you know, theater and, you know, all of this really accumulated through my experiences traveling. And also on a personal level, on my own, you know, I met different people in my life. Like, we started the call talking about mentors, and that really opened me up to what I can do in the future. I didn't really think about it then, but then when I came back here and started working, you know, I really realized, wow, there's so much more I could do.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
I want to do.
Well, I definitely envy you being in London. I have been there, and it's beautiful. It's just a little of everything. I was maybe going to only stay. It was part of a larger trip, and I ended up staying there 3.5 days, and I just made sure I used the tube to get to every part of the city, and there was just something different everywhere. So that's a great breeding ground to do something like this, you know, because right off the bat you have architecture and theater to lead off with, you know. It's just, you could almost like walk around the city. That could be a session right there.
Right, and the culture is just like, you know, coming at you like a ray of sun. It's just always there, even though there's no sun there really, but it's in that way, it can be an analogy to that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, it's funny. Here we have, you know, sometimes we'll find buildings that go back to the 1700s here in New York or in the United States in general. In London, they had things like dating back to, you know, 1066 or even before that, like the Tower of London, you know, intact, fully intact. It's just remarkable. It's definitely not called the old world for nothing. So, have you personally traveled anywhere else, sort of brought this concept to any other places besides U.S. and the U.K.?
I've been to Eastern Europe. One of the pictures that you posted of me in the, in the picture for our interview is me in Slovakia, where I did a lot of work with Roma youth. They're gypsies, but the proper name is Roma. I work with them in both Romania and Slovakia, mostly in Slovakia, and doing, I was actually in a play in Slovakia, so that was part of what I was doing. But I wasn't doing that with the kids, but I put that on through the organization, and it was like a fundraiser as well, so they could see, you know, they could pay to see me in the show. But, you know, I did education work there, teaching English, I started off, and then I got involved in another organization there, which worked with street kids, and I worked in, like, a residential there, and, you know, just spent time with the kids. I learned the second language, which was amazing, and, you know, got to see how they experienced life and what it's like there to work for a nonprofit. It's definitely a lot less organized, maybe equally as bureaucratic. I don't know. It's hard to say. New York City is pretty bureaucratic, but in terms of nonprofit. But, you know, it was really just a great, empowering, enriching time for me to, you know, learn around myself and do what I love and, you know, have all of that infiltrate and go through me so now I can come up with all this stuff. And I think subconsciously it was already there from all these experiences with these different people, but I never knew what to do with it, you know, and it's just so much more about what you're physically doing. Like if you're teaching or if you're showing someone how to get a job and fill something out, fill an application out, it's really getting to know the person and how they live and where they stand culturally, what's their point of view, and helping them establish a point of view, because a lot of these people, they don't know where they stand on issues. They're not confident enough to say, well, this is what I believe. And if they are, you know, they can say it more powerfully. So I think that's what I was really helping them with, rather than the work, which I did. You know, I taught and I did post-secondary education here and preparing kids to, you know, get into high school over there and get a job or an apprenticeship. But it's just so much more than that when you get down to the root of this kind of work. It's like, who are you? How do I help you identify who you are so you can bring out your talent or, you know, not necessarily, you know, something that, you know, you want to do forever, but just like what you can contribute, because they're really striving for something more than what they have. And whether that's just getting a simple job or, you know, really sustaining a career, it's what they want to do and what they're ready for. So a lot of it is like this kind of, like I'm doing now with this personal development work of like, how do we help you understand what you want and how you want to be and how you want to change so we can help you do.
Have you gotten in, let's say, connected with companies, perhaps, that maybe want to do things like internships or, on-the-job training, what's the word I'm looking for, orientation, that maybe explores, it's exploration for the kids to see if this is something they might want to do?
I haven't done that personally. I've been involved with organizations that, wanted to do that or develop programs that help them see and explore different careers or different jobs. I have not outreached anyone personally for my own project, but, like, working for some of the organizations, like one in London, I did that where I, like, did some research on some nonprofits there that were opening up positions for youth to have an internship or, doing a job where they can get some, experience to move forward.
Right, right. Which is important in itself, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
I think at times, even when I was younger, we didn't get enough of that. Maybe towards the end in high school we did. There were sort of people, it was funny, we had these job fairs where these companies would sort of reach out to us, try to grab us, sign on the dotted line. But we didn't really have enough exposure to, like, the disciplines or the different types of things that were going on out there. I think you almost have to.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to spend half of your college life instead of dedicating to a major. I think you almost have to explore so many different things before you commit to one. It can take several years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point that you made about exposure. That's another kind of inhibitor or an aspect of looking for a job or getting into a career that you might be interested in that isn't really, up and coming or available to them in a larger way. I mean, I think it's getting a little bit better, and the acknowledgement that these kids need that kind of exposure, as you said, is much more, it's much more relevant than it was, like, several years ago.
Right.
But I think it's increasing, and there's circling thought around it, on a national level, like, how do they get trained? But, like, my perspective is, like, that's great, and we can get them into college and, a job, but, like, we want them to sustain themselves there, and we cannot master that until we help them understand where they are on a personal level, because most things in life, as I'm sure you know, have to do with how you deal with people, how you interact with different people. And I had to learn this on my own too, because even if I grew up with two parents who taught me, certain skills, I learned a lot of this stuff on my own, and I find that that's more valuable to me in a way than just people telling me that. You have to be shown how to do that, and you have to get experience on your own to do that. So the youth that are successful, or the young adults that are becoming successful, are the ones who are willing to go out there and take a risk and say, like, I'm open to different cultures. I'm open to learning about this. I want to know. I want to become more. And I want to understand how I can make my mark in the world through other people using my own lens. Using the skills that I have within me that I can obtain with myself, in myself, and that I can obtain practically through other people. So it's a combination of, like, knowing yourself internally and then executing them or carrying them out on the ground and connecting with people from different communities and different cultures that might not be the same as you, and saying, well, like, I need them too, or I don't want to just rely on myself now. I've mastered that, or I'm getting better at that. I want to help myself, in partnership with that other person so I can learn those tangible skills.
Right, right. It's funny. I mean, I guess all three of us, like, if we asked ourselves, X number of years ago, for instance, Thomas, what was the first thing you were thinking of being before you, let's say, went to college, and what did you end up doing?
You got
just taking it as an example.
Oh, geez. I mean, I wanted to be a professional NFL football player and a professional baseball player.
Shared one of my dreams.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely got a good share of my sports and stuff, definitely. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I actually was about England and England teams and American teams, and I know that the opportunities for sports are different, and I know my son, he's always wanted to learn American sports because I have two teenagers. As you know, he'll be 17 next month, and my daughter will be 15 in May, and they both live in England. And I used to live in England. Yeah, and we haven't really seen each other too much. You know, maybe I'm thinking of Lindsay could be my partner in helping me to kind of rekindle my relationship with my teenage daughter because it's a little bit different than with my son.
Okay.
You know, over there you can maybe give me some tips and you can be our mediator because it's been a couple years since I've seen them, but they want to come this summer. So, you know, one of the reasons I started this whole company, was because of kids. So this is why I want to have a team conversation going on because that's just a huge, huge part of our society. So I would be interested in that for sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, well, that's certainly a noble goal. And all right, well, we have about 3 minutes left, so let's see. Lindsay, anything in closing before we go, before we take it out here?
Just want to say thank you, you know, for having me, and thank you to Thomas for calling in and talking about what we're doing and all the great stuff we're up to. To all of the listeners, thank you. I know I invited some clients, or old clients of mine who might be listening, and just really want to thank them for inspiring me to keep doing this work. And
excellent.
I'm going to do some great stuff with them too. So.
Well, I definitely hope so. And it's certainly a promising venture, and you know, it just it pays for itself in a way. You know, when you just know that you can change people, that's a blessing in itself. It's not always easy to do. I know that for a fact. As you get more adult, you get harder to change. We all know that.
Yeah.
But, well, just to close out my thing, I also, like Tom, started out wanting to be a baseball player, and I got hit in the face with a pitch in early high school. That kind of ended that. Then I went on to want to consider accounting, and thank God I didn't go into that. But I ended up an engineer. But at the moment, right now, doing the radio thing, even if it's on the internet, it's something I love, and I'm sure there'll be other things, as we all should do. Always aspire to other things, no matter what your quote unquote profession is. So I want to thank Lindsay, and I want to thank Thomas as well for joining us. Lindsay, where can people find you before we go?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Lindsay Sherwin. It should be the first one, and say London or UCL or Birkbeck, okay. One of those schools. And you can also email me, Lindsay, my first name, .Sherwin, my last name, @gmail.com.
Okay, and that's Lindsay with an E. I made that error,
yes.
But I corrected it.
Even
though I swore I wouldn't make it. But I want to thank you for joining us. You're always welcome to join us in the future. And we'll just take it out with a little bit of our friends called the group called Silent Partner. And this song is called Bright Future. And this show will be archived very soon, along with other programming. And I want to thank you both and bid you farewell. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.